Dr. Frank Rice. He was with us a year ago. I don't know if you remember when Greg and Sharon went to go move her parents to here from Ohio to here. And so he's back with us this morning, and we are so grateful for you to come to minister to us through the Word of God. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate the harmonica, too. I've never learned an instrument to play. The only instrument I play is the radio, and I have difficulty with that. I'm going to read where I'm leading an ABF at Calvary Church now in Lancaster. I retired a year ago, and we needed to choose another church to go to while the new pastor transitions, get out of his way, and that's what we're going to do. So my wife and I decided we would go to where our son is an elder. And you'd say, he's an elder? Good grief, how old are you? Well, I'm going to be 80 in 9 years. And so we're doing the book of Romans, but let me read you a passage that you ought to memorize, okay? I'm reading from chapter 11 in Romans, right at the end of that chapter. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways. Irrefutable. Wow. For who has known the mind of the Lord, and who has been his counselor? Or who has been, you should respond on these. Let's try that again. Respond, please, after I read it. For who has known the mind of the Lord? No one. That's the proper response. Or who has been his counselor? Answer, no one. Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? And the answer is no one. And then Paul says, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for special occasions. Sunday morning is one of them, where we get to come together, where we get to worship together, where we sing songs, we hear songs played to praise you, and songs that encourage us, remind us of who you are and what you've done for us and how you've reached down to touch our lives. God, we thank you for that. God, we pray you to do that this morning through your word, that we might understand a little bit better who you are and how we need to respond as your people. We commit the morning to you. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. This morning, let's be real, Psalm 73. Now, I know that some of you are not able to see this, okay? This would be a good time to stand up. There's five seats right here in the front row. I see there's a clock right in the front row, too. Is that for me? Does that mean anything? Anyways, but if you would like to stand up and come forward, we're not giving an invitation, although it is sort of, but if you want to see better, you can do that right now. No takers? Okay. I had talked to the pastor, and I really want you I want you to do two things. Number one, I want you to pay attention during the message. And everybody said, I always do that. Right. But I also want you to have the notes, okay? Because this is something that you can take home and put it in your Bible. And I'm hoping that you say, you know what? I need that. Let's say it all together just in case. Ready? I need that. Say it again. I need that. And I think you will, because you probably have the same problem that I do. And so I have asked Pastor Caleb if he would superintend this. Now, when you take one of these papers, you are agreeing. Are you ready? You are agreeing that you will not read ahead. Okay? So don't take one if you're going to read ahead. I'm serious. Please don't read ahead. Just follow along. I was going to give this to end of the service, but we'll do it beforehand so that you can follow along and not miss anything. So, Caleb, if you would do that, I'll just go ahead and get started. I appreciate that. Let's be real. Again, I've said to my wife, I'm not angry. I'm just frustrated. I'm not angry. I'm just disappointed. I'm not angry. I'm just a little upset. And some of you are guilty of doing the same, denying, oh, well, I'm not angry, okay? And my thing is, okay, what's the problem? What's I'm going to step off here. If I fall, Lancaster General's the best hospital, okay, for me, okay? Never mind, effort is good. Why are we afraid to tell the truth? It's hard for us to admit that we're angry. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands this morning, because I know you, and God knows you. Okay, and that's even better because I've read about you in the scriptures. I read about you. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the whole past, I know who you are. And I know some things about you according to scripture. Why are we afraid to tell the truth? Why do we hide our true feelings and struggles about life and God? And we're going to look at some things this morning that I think will help you feel better. And my goal is not to help you feel about better about yourself. My goal is to help you to work through some issues in your life. And we will take a hand show. How many here this morning are dealing with different issues in your life? If you don't raise your hand, I'm going to ask you to come up here. We're going to interview. How many are dealing with different issues in your life, okay? You're a teenager? Get your hand up there, guy. I see you. Yeah, we are. We're dealing with, and anger is one of those issues. Why do we hide behind acceptable terms like frustrated, I'm disappointed, I'm upset, when anger is a more accurate term? And so this morning, what I want you to do is I'm going to introduce you to a man named Asaph. He tells it like it is, and it's for your benefit, okay? We're going to look at that in a minute, and as soon as I get this going here, whenever I go like this, the guy in the back, you need to help me out. Cain was angry at God. Cain was angry. Genesis chapter 4, God said, why are you angry if you do right and so forth? Cain was ripped at God. He was upset because his offering was rejected and his Abel's was accepted. And so we understand that. This one's a little more, if you read the context, you'll get it. Moses was angry with God. Remember when he whacked a rock? And God said, meh, you're disqualified. You're not getting into the promised land. Now, it doesn't say specifically that Moses was angry at God. But I tell you what, if I had to read his lips or read his mind, I would think he's a little disappointed in God. He's a little upset. You know what? Most of the time, our disappointments, our anger comes because we do stupid things. Now, stupid is a good word. Use it sparingly. Because we do dumb things, and then we blame it on God. We make mistakes, and then we pray and ask God to fix it. And God says, hey, baby, he doesn't say this, you understand, you won't find this. He says, hey, baby, you made a mistake. I told you not to do that. You work it out. When you need me, I'll be here to help you. But you're going to have to take the consequences, okay? You can make your choices, but you can't choose your consequences. And we understand that. Well, most of us understand that. We move along and we see that David was miffed with God. Remember when they were bringing the ark back to Jerusalem and Uzziah reached out? What David did wrong, right? He allowed it to be hauled on a cart. It should have been carried. And Uzziah reached out, touched it. And what happened to Uzziah? Go ahead. Dead. He's dead. And David was very upset. In fact, he put the ark somewhere else. He went back to his house. Now, later he came to the conclusion that he was wrong. Jonah was angry with God. Why was Jonah angry with God? Because Jonah hated the Ninevites and wanted them to go to hell, okay? Basically, bluntly, okay? I don't mince words too often. Jonah hated the Ninevites, and they deserved damnation. And Jonah knew that if he goes and tells them to repent, God's the kind of God that would be merciful to those wicked people. And guess what happened? God was merciful. So Jonah goes out on the hillside and says, can't believe you did that. Yeah, you read it. Jonah chapter number 4. Jonah's angry with God. And so, you know, there are so many rabbit trails on this message. Get your gun out, man. We'll have a great time. Asaph was upset with God. Asaph. Who's Asaph? Well, there are 150 Psalms. David wrote most of them, but Asaph wrote 12 of them. Psalm 50 and then Psalm 73 through 83. And if you read those, you'll recognize that Asaph was a spiritual leader in Israel. Asaph was a man of God. He loved God. And you read the portions of scripture that he, by the Holy Spirit, wrote, and you'll say, this man loved God. He walked with God. He knew God. And yet, Asaph was angry with God. You know what that tells me? None of us is immune for getting angry with God. And folks, I could take the rest of the day to tell you the times that I was angry and upset with God. Okay? You're a pastor. That's right. But there have been times in my life where God did things that I didn't want, and I was angry with God. And I would assume that you're human, most of you are human, and you are susceptible to the same thing. God doesn't always give me what I want. He gives me what I need. And I have told God before, God, I don't like this. You know what? He can handle that. He's a big God. He knows what's going on inside. And when I'm upset with God, I get alone. I don't do it in front of an audience. And you'll see Asaph. This is amazing because Asaph is an intelligent man. He's a spiritual man. But I get alone and I pour out my complaint to God. He already knows it. I just need to express it before him. He understands me. And you know what? After I don't get done with my complaint, God still, starts with an L, loves me. He still loves me. He still loves me. Anyways, you get upset with God. That's an accusation. But you know what? I think it's accurate. Asaph shares his story of recovery. And that's what this is. This is a story of recovery. This is how Asaph made it through. Truly, God is... I thought you said he was angry with God. No, no, no. Verse 1 is sort of like a disclaimer. I want you to know this before I start on my story, he says. Truly, God is good to Israel, to those whose hearts are pure. That means it applies to me. God is good to me. And we sing, God is good all the time, and sometimes we're sitting inside, God not good to me. Oh, we would never be hypocrites, would we? Yeah, we do that sometimes. Wait until you have a more accurate assessment of your crisis. And that's what Asaph does. Asaph knew the truth. Asaph knew that God was good to people who loved him. But he forgot it. He forgot. Well, how do you know that? Watch what he says. He says this. But as for me, I almost lost my footing. My feet were slipping and I was almost gone. Asaph was in a place where it's like, you know what? I almost lost it. I was in a bad... Well, what happened, Asaph? In Asaph's case, here's what happened. He says this, verse number 3. For I envied the proud when I saw them prosper despite their wickedness. Asaph went down, he mingled with the people in town in Jerusalem, let's say it's Jerusalem, and he saw people, and he saw that they were prospering. He knew that they were schnooks. How many know what a schnook is? Okay, you get the idea. Here's a guy who cheats. Here's a guy who cheats on his wife. Here's a guy who cheats in his business. Here's a guy who takes advantage of people. He looked at them, and he said, you know, they're making money. Their kids are healthy. Their cattle are producing. Their sheep are lambing. I guess that's what you call that. But things are going well with them. And he said, it's not, go ahead. Fair. He said, it's not fair. He had a problem with that. And folks, you do too. Most of us have looked around and you said, you know what? Why is it going well with him? And he's out boating this morning. And his kids are all healthy. He's paying for their college tuition. He's doing all, how can that be? And most of us have struggled with that. For I envied the proud when I saw them prosper despite their wickedness. Again, now, here's what he says. They seem, that's a key word, they seem, okay? They seem to live such painless lives. Their bodies are so healthy and strong. They don't have troubles like other people. They seem, okay? Watch this seem. They're not plagued with problems like everyone else. They wear pride like a jeweled necklace and do themselves with cruelty and clothe themselves with cruelty. A little hard for me to read up this close. These fat cats, I'm not sure what the Hebrew word for fat cats is. This is a New Living Translation. I usually use my ESV or I memorize most of my members out of New King James. Fat cats, I don't know where that came in Hebrew. Anyways, these fat cats have everything their hearts could ever wish for. Now, what does he say there at the top? Well, we'll find out. I'm finding out. There is a phrase at the top. Admit your superficial assessment. And that's what it is. He looks and it seems. It's superficial. He doesn't get behind it. Most of the people you know on a superficial level. And if they're having problems, they're not telling you about it. We put up a big what? Front. We put up a big, how are you? Oh, I'm fine. You know what? Here's what I do. I go for a walk in the park, okay? A year ago, I was doing fairly well. In December, I was diagnosed with cancer. I have prostate cancer now, and I'm working through things, okay? And I'm doing a lot better than I ever expected. I didn't think I'd go hunting this year. That was the biggest heartache that I had. Some kid in the park, "Hey, how you doing?" And I finally said it. "How much detail would you like?" You'd be amazed. Try it. It's like, oh. And I have said that to at least 30 people. "How much detail would you like?" And I look at them, and they don't know what to say. But and so here, admit your supernatural assessment. You look at people, and they look like they're doing great. Your fellow workers, your fellow students, your neighbors, everybody. Oh, they're looking like, I'm fine. And I, you know what I want to say? Starts with an L. Go ahead. Liar. You're not telling the truth. You know why they don't tell the truth? Because they don't want to get into it. They don't want to expose how they're really feeling. Every one of us has problems. Every one of us has issues. Here's how you recover from those kind, and a lot of it has to do with God, okay? They wear pride. I already read this once, okay? Don't read it again. It keeps on going. They scoff and speak only evil. He was overhearing stuff. In their pride, they seek to crush others. They boast against the very heavens, and their words strut throughout the earth. Words speak time and time again. He's listening to their words. And so the people. Now, there's a transition here. Asaph is saying, these guys are mouthing all over the place. They talk big, okay? And then he says, and there's people listening to them. And that's what he's saying. Watch. And so the people are dismayed and confused, drinking in all their words. The people are listening. They're saying, I can't figure this out. And here's what they're saying. This is a quote from these people. What does God know? What does God really know? And they ask, does the Most High even know what's happening? In our present political situation, my question is, hey, God, do you know what's going on down here? And his answer is what? Yes. His answer is yes. I know what's going on down there, okay? And so it doesn't matter. But the people, they're looking, they're like Asaph. They're looking around, they're saying, what's going on here? What's going on? Does God even know what's going on? And the answer is always yes. But remember the passage we read, okay? His understanding is unsearchable. His ways inscrutable. You can't figure God out. And neither can Asaph, but he's working at it, okay? What do we find next? Avoid premature and shallow conclusions. Watch the conclusions that Asaph came to. He watched and he saw this. Did I keep my heart pure for nothing? Did I keep myself innocent for no reason? I get nothing but trouble all day long. Every morning brings me pain. And he's saying, why do I even go to church? He didn't say this. I'm saying it. Why do I even go to church Sunday morning? Why do we even pray? Why do we even read the Bible? Because I'm not experiencing the goodness of God. And folks, I don't always experience the goodness of God, and neither do you. You know what? That's the real world. Let's be real about it. Let's not be phony. I don't know. How are you doing? Well, I'm not too bad. I'm doing great. Don't ruin it. That's another. Don't use these, okay? You won't gather your apron. Asaph. You know, is it even worth it to serve God? Frank, have you ever asked that question? Yeah, I have. Okay, and again, I could bore you with all the details of my life. You don't need that. But there have been times when I've asked, God, is it even worth it? And if I could turn back, I went to seminary. I had 3 kids and 1 in the oven. I went to seminary fully believing that God had led me there. We got there in August. Number 4 was born in August 18th. I did not have the money. I trusted God for the money, and he didn't come through. I was a hurting guy, okay? I didn't have a job. I had a family. We had no insurance for the 4th baby. And some people would say, you're an idiot. Why'd you even do that? Because I believe God wanted me to do it, and that's why I did it. I don't have a problem obeying God. I have a problem knowing what he wants me to do. And a long time went by. I could not start seminary. And here I am, stuck in Indiana. And it was the pits. And there's more details than you can even imagine. I went to the mailbox day after day. The rest of the guys were registering for seminary. I was sitting at home pouting, and I was upset. I wasn't angry at God. No, I was just upset. I was disappointed. No, I was angry at God. I finally got a job. I interviewed for a job up at Choretime Brock in Indiana. The guy said, you can have a job. When would you like to start? I said, I'll be back this afternoon. When do I punch in? I drove home, probably 10 miles, and we went through the couches, the pockets, and every place we could find any coins. We had $2.87. I put gas in the tank, and I went to work that night. Folks, I was so disappointed. I wouldn't pray. I read my Bible, but I didn't pray. I was angry at God. I'll be honest with you. Oh, you were disappointed. No, I was angry. I was upset. I was ticked off at God. And then I started thinking, that's a dangerous thing to do. Started thinking, you know, I've been to college, taught school, math and science for 4 years, went to Word of Life Bible Institute, great instructors, good grades, went to Practical Bible Training School when it existed, good professors, good grades. I should be able to get some kind of credit for those things. So I submitted an application for 6 credits. That would take care of the fall semester at seminary. I submitted it to Dr. Smith. He said, stop back in January. In January, I went into his office, and I was scared. Went into his office, I sat down, and he handed me a paper. 20 credits. Do you know what that is? That's a year of life almost. And that's thousands of dollars that they gave me. And then I finally said, okay, God, you're right and I'm wrong. Okay, let's say that together. Ready? Okay, God, you're right and I'm wrong. You know what? That happens more often than not. You understand? I get miffed because what do? I prematurely shallow conclusions. What else is happening here? If I had really spoken this way to others, I would have betrayed, been a traitor to your people. Now, what's he saying? He said, I kept my mouth shut. He said, I'm not going to tell anybody. Because I am wrestling with some issues right now that I do not understand. I'm angry, upset with God. I'm not going to tell anybody else because it might destroy their walk with God. He's a spiritual leader. Most of my problems I have had to work through by myself. Some people like support groups. I've never been into those. Not a problem with them. But I guess I'm sort of a loner. Where do we go from here? Don't be afraid to wrestle with the deeper issues. What does Asaph do? What does he do next? So I try to understand why the wicked prosper. But what a difficult task it is. So he sits down with himself, one-on-one with himself. How do you do that? I don't know. But he sits down and he tries to figure out, how does this work? And you know what? Here's what happens next. That's a short one. Don't be afraid. Know where to go to correct your perspective. That was his problem. Then I went to see my psychiatrist, Dr. Phil, or Dr. whoever. I turned on the TV, and I listened to them. It's not what he says. Then I went to the local bar. The guys understand me there. The bartender always listens to me. I can pour out my complaint to him. That's not what he says. Then I went to my medicine cabinet. Some people, they go to the refrigerator or something in there, and they drown their trouble. Instead of dealing with reality, they go to a substitute. Then I went, you fill it in. What is your go-to when you're frustrated and angry with life? And folks, when you're frustrated and angry with life, you're frustrated and angry with God. Now that's a blanket statement. I understand that. But I'm going to stick with it. Most of the time, our frustration and anger is with God. Because God is a sovereign God. And if he indeed is in fact of control all events, what I've got right inside is God's will for my life. That's it. I told my friend on Friday, we were going up to the shooting range and put holes in paper, as he puts it. And most of the time we do put holes in paper. But I said, you know, I am glad for my cancer. Because Psalm 73 has helped me to work through the issues. Now, I'm not completely, I haven't resolved everything. But folks, God is working. And Psalm 73 has been a tremendous source of blessing. Nowhere to go to correct your perspective. Then I went into your sanctuary, O God, and I finally understood. Remember, I finally understood the destiny of the wicked. Where did he go? He went before God. Now, you and I don't have a sanctuary. I have a place where I can go. I have different places where I go to be by myself. It's hunting season. I love hunting season. I love archery. I love being out by myself, where I'm the only person I can have an intelligent conversation with. I'm just kidding, okay? I'm not arrogant. I just sound that way. Then I finally understood. Where'd he go? He went into the... Here's the amazing thing. Truly. He said truly before. Remember when he said truly? Truly, God is good to Israel, to those who have a pure heart. Now he says truly again. Take this as truth. You put them on a slippery path and send them sliding over the cliff to destruction. In an instant, they are destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. When you arise, O Lord, you will laugh at their silly ideas. As a person laughs at dreams in the morning, that word God laughing is the laugh of incredulity. Now, there's your vocabulary. That's incredible. It's you're driving along, and some dude in a four-wheel drive pickup truck, there's a muddy field. Watch this, he says to his buddy. And he goes, and he rips and tears, and he gets stuck. And you sit there, and you laugh. You say, that was stupid. Yeah. Thank you, appreciate that. Somebody else, yeah, that was dumb. And how many times have you ever said to yourself, boy, that was stupid. When I do stuff, I don't know why I did that. God laughs. His laugh is not a laugh like laughing at a joke, but God says, I can't believe I did that. He who sits in the heavens, what? Laughs in Psalm chapter number 2. And so it's the laugh of incredulity. I think God looks down at us sometimes and shakes his head and says, can't believe he did that. Can't believe he did that. I understand. You question that. And that's okay. I don't mind. Confess your stupidity. And I use that word sparingly. I'm not accusing you of being stupid, but I do stupid things. Stupidity means my thoughts, my actions. Here goes. Then I realized that my heart was bitter, and I was all torn up inside. He admitted it. He's bitter, and he's torn up inside. I was so foolish and ignorant, I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you. And what does he do? He says, I was like a dumb ox. I'm not sure if that's an ox or not. It looks like a cow to me. Anyways, he admits, you know, that was so dumb of me. And folks, we need to come to a point in our lives. Don't be so proud to confess to God, God, I was really stupid. I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I thought that way, Lord. Embrace an eternal perspective. I would encourage you, take that paper, go home, and read over this a couple times. I'm going to read it, lest we get too bogged down. Here's what he says. Eternal perspective. Here's where he comes. Yet I still belong to you. You hold my right hand. You give me, you guide me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny. Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. Wow. Have you come to that place in your life where you can say that honestly, where you can read that? That's an amazing thought. My health may fail. Yeah, boy, that hits. My health may fail. And my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine. Next word is what? He is mine forever. Those who desert him will perish, for you destroy those who abandon you. That's the path. There's the path of abandonment. There's the path of wickedness. You get to choose. You can choose the path of blessing, or you can choose that path. But remember, what's at the end of that path? And that's what he's saying. But as for me, how good it is to be near God. I want you to notice something. But as for me, I almost lost my footing. What happened in between verse 2 and verse 28? Something happened. He faced up to the reality of who God is. He acknowledged his foolishness. And he came to the conclusion of God, they have nothing. When you see your neighbor, you need to love the unsaved people, but you need to remember, they have nothing. In fact, they're not gonna, what? Take it with them. Their time will come. Have compassion on lost people. They're putting their hope in their stuff, in their bank account, in their house, and all this stuff. And guess what? It's all going to go. It's all going to go. I could think of a number of names that come to mind right now. They're not taking it with them. And I wouldn't want to go where they're going. Let me read that verse 28. But as for me, how good it is to be near God. Draw near to the God of the Bible. And I would encourage you, if you want to draw near to God, I'm reading for the second time the book of Psalms in my morning devotions. I read other portions of Scripture and I read Psalms. Psalms is basically a lot of prayer put together. And if you meditate on the Psalms, you draw near to God. I tell you what, it helps me tremendously. But as for me, how good it is to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my shelter. What does he say? Learn to trust your sovereign Lord. Is God sovereign? Answer, please. Yes, he is. Does he know what he's doing? Answer, yes, he does. Does he care about me and you? Yes, he does. Do you like everything that he does? Answer, no. You don't have to. We have 7 kids. We sit around the table. I don't like this. My response is, honey, you don't have to like it. You just have to eat it. And I think God says that to me. Frank, you don't have to like it, but you do have to live through it. And guess what? If you respond rightly, if you respond correctly, you will grow closer to me. And that's the thing. I don't have any control over a lot of things in my life. I wish I did, but it's probably good I don't. But I do have a sense of control over how I respond to those things. And I will tell, here's another one. And I will tell everyone about the wonderful things you do. What does he do next? Share your story with others. I need to be open, and I am very vulnerable. People are afraid to ask me about how I'm doing. It's like, that's okay, it's fine. And I tell them. I tell them about 5 months with a catheter, and now the joy of that and all that kind of stuff. Most of you don't know what that is. But it's like, you know what? This is the way it is. How are you doing? I'm doing fine, okay? I'm doing fine. Here's the progress, okay? Again, share your story with others. Let's commit to being real. I'm going to read over these quickly. Wait until you have an accurate assessment. Don't go spouting off about your problems without analyzing them. Number 2, admit your superficial assessment. Excuse me. Avoid premature and shallow conclusions. Wrestle with the deeper issues. Know where to go to restore correct perspective. My person in the back has fallen asleep. Did you fall asleep? Embrace an eternal perspective. Draw near to the God of the Bible. Learn to trust your sovereign Lord. And then lastly, share your story with others. I trust that you'll be able to take those papers. I'm not done yet, so don't close your Bibles. It's only 3 minutes yet. Take those home, read through them. And really, when the pastor's done preaching each week, Lord, is there something in there for me? My wife and I were going on our 30-year anniversary quote, getaway. We were going to get a bus and we were going to go up to Cape Cod to see, what's his name? John DeBrine, yes. Who was that? The piano player. We were going up to see John DeBrine and his dog. I don't even know his dog's name. Bible conference for our anniversary. We were excited. Get on the bus with all these old people. I was not this old then. Some of you are sleeping. I know you are. About a week and a half before, I was in Lancaster General Hospital having a heart stent. That's not in the plan, okay? Lancaster General, room 555. I got out on a Thursday. And we were supposed to take the bus trip on Friday. And the doctor said, you can go. You're fine. You'll be okay. Just don't overdo it. And make sure you don't sit too long. You need to stand. You need to walk around. You need so you don't get a blood clot. And some of you understand what I'm talking about. So we were excited. We packed our bags and we thought, oh, we'll get there early so we can get good seats. Now, if you know old people are never on time. They're always 2 hours early. We have nothing else to do. It wasn't we then, it was they. So we get to the bus down at the gas station down near Lancaster, and the bus is there, and we get on, and there are two seats left, and it's 20 minutes until the bus leaves. Two seats. One is in the third row, and one is in the back by the bathroom. And I'm thinking, okay, some of these nice old people, they'll probably. And so the bus, you know, the tour guide says, we have a couple here on their 30th anniversary. Would anyone like to move so that they can sit together? Nothing. So here I am. My wife's in seat number in the third row. I'm sitting in the back, and I'm grousing. I'm thinking, this is the pits. This, you know, I don't say this sucks. I never say that. But it was bad. And I'm back there, and I'm thinking. And pretty soon I thought, this is the only place on the bus where I can stand and not be a nuisance. This is the only place on the bus where there's a handrail. And I can stand and hold on for an hour or two at a time, because that's what it was like. This is the only place on the bus. And there was another one that I forgot. And pretty soon I found out, and folks, that has happened multiple times in my life, where something bad happens to me, and I work through it, and I figure, you know what? This is good. This is good. God is good. God is good. We just need to work through the whole process, recovering from our anger, frustration, call it what you want, but I need to work through that. I'm working through, I find myself working through that daily. That's the real world. Folks, let's be real with our Christianity. Your friends will appreciate it, and folks, your neighbors will appreciate it. Your God is real. Is your life real? Are you willing to be vulnerable to those around you? Let me pray for you. God, I thank you for these dear folks this morning. I thank you for Asaph, who was willing to tell it like it is, Lord. Father, we admit to you that we get frustrated with life. And Father, we also admit that often that frustration finds its way back to your throne room. God, help us as we seek to live for you, as we deal with our own sinful anger, some of it is justifiable, we understand that. May God help us as we process the information. Thank you for Asaph telling his story of recovery. Father, we commit ourselves to you and the message of the morning to you in Christ's name.